Hello, welcome to Studio One. If you like what you see, like and subscribe and comment. Just to get started, my name is Phil Osman. This platform is called Studio One. Nice. I used to do it with my partner Mike, but he departed the platform recently. So it's an absolute pleasure to get you on. We cover up and coming acts in Toronto, but also artists that I genuinely want to have conversations with. Yeah, so it's an absolute pleasure. Before we get going, can you just briefly introduce yourself and then we'll get started?
Yeah, of course. It's Kane here from Somebody's Child. We are a five-piece indie rock band from Dublin. Two of us now live in London, but we are touring our first album, which came out in February, and first time playing in Toronto tonight. First time touring the US this week. We couldn't get our visas till a couple of months ago, so we were meant to play back in March, but that got cancelled because we had visa issues. So it's good to be able to finally come back and do that.
So just to get started, so I know you grew up in Paris, mm-hmm. and you ended up going into Dublin. I read that you were in the car with your dad, he'd play you music. As you started to get older, what were acts that kind of drew you into music opposed to the songs that your dad played for you?
Yeah, I kind of rejected what my parents played for me, I think, at that age. And kind of just gravitated towards whatever was popular at the time as a child. So I found myself when I was kind of growing into my teenage years, finding my own taste and having to kind of learn through friends and stuff how what I kind of liked. So I guess one of the first kind of bands that probably took me out of that world is kind of like the Arctic Monkeys and the Strokes, that early 2000s scene that is kind of so pivotal to indie music, I guess, and Arcade Fire, I guess, as well. And so those were kind of three of the big bands back in the day. But I mean, there was tons, like Oasis as well for a certain point, and then kind of some electronic music as well. Like I got pretty heavily into some electronic DJs like Mount Kimby and Chemical Brothers and stuff. Nicholas Jar as well at the time, which gave me a different perspective again. But that never filtered into my music for some reason.
And another cool thing that I noticed too, Joy Division, an act that you love. Mm-hmm. I got to actually see Peter Hook in the Light do the show and it's incredible.
Nice.
Do you particularly have one favorite Joy Division track or anything that you gravitate towards? For me, it's Isolation.
Yeah. I think it's hard to get away from Disorder for me. It's just pretty important to me in terms of how I play guitar. Like I don't have a guitar style aside from Simplicity, and they gave me a kind of a sense of confidence in being able to do things with Simplicity but really well, and being able to use kind of catchy hooks in songs without it being too kind of commercial or poppy. You know, they were able to do it in a way that, you know, still felt organic and mature. So they've been a huge kind of inspiration for me. A lot of the 80s was kind of the last decade which I left to really, you know, indulge myself in, and now it's the era which influences most of my music. And I think that it's because I waited so long for that to be inspiring. So when I was cutting my teeth and I was listening to a lot of the 90s and stuff, I learned to write music in that sense. And when I had my, I guess I've done my 10,000 hours, and then I kind of found the 80s, and that just became a place that I hadn't quite tapped into enough, and I think that's the perfect level of inspiration when you haven't quite overindulged in that music, and yet it's still able to kind of come out in you without sounding too much like them. So that's why Joy Division and The Cure have been you know, massive fans for that first record especially.
What I love about Joy Division too is so much of their music represents like where they're from, but like another thing is like the juxtaposition of like a song like Isolation, mm-hmm. where it sounds really upbeat, sounds really exciting, but then when you read the lyrics, you can really,
so dark.
You can hear the words that Ian Curtis is saying, how dark it is.
Yeah.
I know in your songwriting, you know, honesty and vulnerability is really important because you want, you know, the fans of your music to connect with it. Mm. How do you think you've evolved in your songwriting since you released your first record in 2018?
Quite far. I think when we're releasing singles, I'm a songwriter first and foremost, and I write what I think sounds good, generally starting with melody and then. You know, finding lyrics. So lyricism has been something that I have grown into over time, but I always like to keep it arm's length away from me because I think the more you try and write, the less authentic it can be. And I think the best way to write lyrics is to allow it to kind of come out of you as much as possible before you bring any steps of logic into it. So if you're trying to tie in a narrative using logic, for me, that's not how a song should work. You know, I don't process things in that way. And I guess, I mean, going back to kind of Joy Division, the kind of the use of dark sounding songs and light lyrics or vice versa is something that comes quite naturally to me as well, which is another reason why they probably influenced me so much.
Yeah, and I know in your music, being from Dublin and growing up there, I know you also made a mention that you made this new record in London. Mm-hmm. How would you describe sort of how being in different places changes the way you record a song, or whether it's the EP or the album? How does, like, because I know I read that, you know, you went to college and music wasn't something you kind of were going after, you kind of jumped into it. So how do you think you've grown into your role as an artist by recording in different places and how it came into your music?
I think, change of scenery is massive for me. Like, we're stuck in a studio in Dublin for the likes of COVID, and me and Shay kind of lost our jobs in cafes and stuff at the time, and just started writing 9 to 5 as if it was a real job. And as much as that is a kind of romanticized idea of being an artist, it just doesn't work like that. You can't grind at creativity. In fact, it'll grind down if you try and work it too hard. It's kind of like a muscle. Eventually, you know, it'll snap, and it's really important to get that relationship between, you know, Shay's a big songwriter in the band as well, and not kind of overuse that too much and strain that. So, it's huge. So we went over to London to record the album, which is the birthplace of a lot of music that I listen to. As much as it pains me to say, a lot of our influences are British.
Yeah.
We love it, and the history there, you know, musically is unmatched. So, so me and Shay actually live there now, and we're in the process of writing the second record, which sounds different again. So that kind of ability to change place and it to shape your sound is quite, I would say it's not even tangible. Like, it's so easy to say that without really having any meaning behind it, but the small little nuances that it can affect, that can affect your creativity, and just, you know, COVID being over, life being open. And,
yeah.
And you know, I think we wrote probably, I'm going to say, like 100 songs in COVID, and not one of them has seen the light of day. And that's just because there was no light coming into our room. It was just the two of us in a kind of dungeon, almost, like writing this stuff. And maybe we're getting kind of rinsing out all the crappy songs that needed to come out of us before the good ones came or something. I don't know how to think about it, but all I know is certainly when it opened up, everything changed for us creatively. Yeah. And
going from, you know, songwriting and doing shows, things like that, I know, of course, as an artist, you can get influence from anywhere. I know I'm wearing a Blade Runner shirt, because I know it's another influence of yours as well. When it comes to films and movies, how does that correlate with, you know, building an album? And I know with your music video, I think it was Drifting is a big part of the culture over there. You know, how important is influences from other creative outlets? Mm-hmm. And also, I read that you listened to, like, the Song Exploder podcast.
Yeah.
And, like, really diving into those things. How does that help you on this music journey?
I love film. It's like, I'd say I'm a bigger film fan than I am a music fan. And that's only because I've ruined music for myself in choosing it as a career. But film to me is so important. I think that when I write, it's so visual. A lot of the kind of images I capture in my head are the ones that end up on the paper. And sometimes they don't even make sense. It's just this kind of, these different pictures in my head all coming together under this song. And that's why I wait as long as possible before introducing kind of logic into that, because I love the almost ethereal nature of, you know, that subconscious state that you're in, you know, and being able to picture all that together. So it's huge. And when it comes to my own music videos, I actually like to step away and allow, that's my only chance where I can allow full collaboration to happen, where you hire a music video producer, they pitch an idea and they're allowed to do that. And I have a small say in it, but I always say that, you know, that's not my area. I love being a part of it and being there in the day, and just because I love film and I love the way that it's made. But I also don't want to get too involved in that stuff, because I don't want to ruin it for myself as well. It's quite a sensitive little relationship that I want to keep to myself.
And I know, like, as like film directors and things like that, you'll have like a Blade Runner where you have like a director's cut. and there's so many hours of film that they're going through. When it comes to picking what songs to make an album, or when it comes to a set list, are you very particular in what you're trying to get a, like get on with it, or as like part of a band, are you more like, hey guys, what are your also ideas too? Because I know when it comes to art, there could be the level of I want it kind of like the way I'm seeing it. So how does that kind of build in a band?
I think it started as myself just playing the instruments on our first single that came out in 2018, and since then it's always kind of been myself as the visionary. It has, you know, I always take in, like when we go into the studio, it's kind of a different thing. But the band are also, they don't want to, you know, be a part of that side of things, and that's just how it's kind of worked for us. Shay has obviously been a big part of it, and he kind of produces the demos and that kind of thing. So we work together quite closely. But generally, I feel like if it's like I collaborate with other people as well, and if there's any more than two people in a room, I just find that just lose any essence of what a song might be. It's not belonging to anyone, and if it doesn't belong to anyone, then it belongs to no one. So it's hard for me to be able to sing that, you know, in a way that feels genuine if it's not really coming from a place of, you know, own experience or at least own imagination.
Yeah. And one of my favorite records on the album, Hold Me Like You Wanna.
Okay.
Even reading the meaning behind the song, the idea of, you know, growing up, and you know, you might not be close friends with the same people you used to. I know I've read interviews, watched it, you talk about, you know, the concept of growing old and things like that, but the question that I wanted to ask you was, when it comes to your music, you know, as the years go by and there's anniversaries, especially with the debut album, when it goes 5 years have passed, 10 years have passed, beyond the idea of you growing old, how much pride are you going to take in your music aging with you?
I try not to think about it, man, to be honest. I try and push that as far away from myself. But yeah, it's something that I've tried my best to try and appreciate things as they come rather than just thinking ahead. It's something I'll probably regret later in life not doing more. But I just don't think about it. Just don't think about it, for better or worse.
And with that, I've talked to a lot of artists right before they release their debut album. And one of my favorite things to ask is, you know, a lot of the times growing up and listening to music, you'll hear a record and it'll be their first, you know, one in particular that comes to mind. They're doing their 20-year anniversary of Hopes and Fears. When you look at your debut album, your self-titled debut album, are you looking at it as, this is my debut album, this is how I want to introduce myself? Or are you looking at it as just a record you really wanted to get out?
No, it was definitely a combination or a culmination of my life up until that point. I mean, that record is everything. It was, you know, 12 years of learning to write songs put into an 11-track album, which is an extremely daunting thing to put out there. It's, you know, you feel so vulnerable, but at the same time, it was nice to do that and close that chapter of my life and move on to something new. And the next kind of material is from a brighter place and one of kind of more acceptance, but also kind of, yeah, me coming to terms with some things that I guess you struggle to deal with at certain ages.
Yeah, and when it comes to music too, I know, you know, even with me, I wrote a book recently about my own mental health and journey about being in the music industry.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up with like a heart condition and it took me a while to like kind of put that into words.
Okay.
So for you, when it comes to your own music, how much does it help you overcome things that you've gone in your life? Mm. And do you think, is that one of the reasons why you gravitated to do songwriting in the beginning, of just wanting to, like, is journaling something you
into? Definitely. I mean, I struggle, as I say, I don't think about things a lot because I think my memory is so bad, and songwriting helps me sketch out my past a little bit, you know? So I guess when I do look back and listen to them, because usually I don't listen to songs once they're out there, but you know, when I do, it'll be such a nostalgic feeling for me to be able to process, and you know, at that point I'll be able to really, you know, feel pride in them. And it's not that I don't already, but you know, songs, by the time they're out, you kind of lose that initial love that you had for them, because it takes 6 to 9 months for them to come out into reality. So at that point you're onto something else, and you know, you're in a different direction and stuff, so you need to leave almost that time so that you're able to come back and listen to it as a fan rather than, you know, as an artist. It's, I always find songwriting is like looking at yourself in the mirror, you can't see yourself the same way other people see you. So it's such a sensitive relationship you have with that song, so that you can accept that that's what you want before showing it to anyone. And and yeah, it's definitely like journaling, it's therapy, it's like, it's I guess what helped me grow up. And and sometimes you write music that you don't understand, and then it becomes an experience of self, you know, discovery. And there's a huge beauty in that, and I think that's what keeps driving me back, that feeling.
Yeah, I think one of the beautiful things that I've read, like about the Beatles, Paul McCartney, his song Yesterday. Only years later did he realize that it was about his mother passing away. He didn't realize at the time that was where it comes from. So I think that's
That's cool.
Yeah, that's why I think music is so beautiful. Yeah. You don't. Again, like, you can write something, you can do all that, but the processing can take a while. I thought that was really cool for him to come out and say that. But I think for you then, of course, you know, you're in Toronto, you're doing your first show here. Did you have to grow into being a performer and going on stage? Because I know early on there was the anonymity thing of you kind of held back, from, which is really a cool idea because, you know, you want people to gravitate towards music. But as you got older in your music, it's better to just be out there for fans to connect with you. So shows-wise, how have you started building confidence in that route?
Just getting my band behind me. It's, you know, we're a five-piece band now that, you know, that wasn't what I had in mind originally. I just wanted to write songs so that maybe somebody would go, hey, do you want to write songs with me? And then people started wanting to see us play, and then so I got a band together, and these guys have given me the confidence to you know, be the performer that I am, and vice versa. You know, we work as a unit, and it's a huge thing to have that kind of support and that confidence in the people that you play with. And now, as far as I'm concerned, even though it's myself on, you know, the front of the Instagram page or whatever, it's like, it is a five-piece band in my head, and we work as a unit. And, you know, without these guys, I'd be absolutely nowhere. So, you know, it's you know, as much credit to them as it is for me. So, that's, you know, music is about meeting people, it's about playing to people, it's about connection, and the band and the crowd are this ecosystem that is that's so precious to allowing the music to you know, have its own life and be able to breathe in that sense, you know. Otherwise I might as well just still be writing in my room.
And I know your first EP was called 20 something, kind of nearing the end of the interview a little bit. What's something you've learned about yourself in this music journey in your 20s that surprised you, and one thing that you've done that you couldn't believe it was going on, whether it's performing in Dublin and doing shows there? What's one thing that you've done, whether it's a show or a song that's been released, where you were surprised at that, but also something that throughout this journey you've learned about yourself more?
I've learned that you have to have patience more so than you think. And I think we just announced a gig in the Olympia Theatre, which was always my dream venue, and I think that's probably, you know, one that I've had in the books for some time.
And first time ever in Toronto. When you kind of saw that itinerary of shows you were going to do, what's one thing that seeing Toronto made you think of, whether it's growing up or anything? Like, as someone who's born in Toronto, what's something that you think of when it comes to Toronto?
I've never been here before. I don't know anyone that lives here. I think it's a completely different place to America, which you know, is one feeling, and Toronto is one completely different one, and one that I'd probably relate closer to home. You know, a lot of Irish people travel to Canada to live, and I can see, you know, why that is. But coming here, it gave me a sense. This is only the second country I've been able to travel to, which I haven't previously been to, you know, from music, and it's immensely, you know, powerful traveling and being able to perform. And part of the reason why I do it is to be able to travel. So to be able to come to new countries, new places, is an incredible feeling. And, you know, I haven't played the gig yet, so we'll have to see. I haven't played to Canadian crowds, but for what I hear, they're really into rock music and stuff as well, which is something that you get in the UK, which is, you know, a second home to us now. And it's a large part of, you know, why I'm in music is that influence. So. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I love the culture here. It seems like, I didn't know what to expect, to be honest. I hadn't ever, you know, been here or anything before. My parents hadn't been here, so I didn't have any kind of recommendations or anything. But it's it seems like, you know, it seems laid back. It seems big, but it seems laid back in a similar sense to, I guess, what Dublin feels like to me.
That's perfect, man. Studio One.